Now, perhaps during the morning, I don't want to take night services away from the brethren, because I think it'd be fine if we have various speakers in order to hear more of the facets of the message that God has given. You know, each one of us has something to contribute, and I believe that that contribution is necessary, very definitely so. I didn't want to take too many services, but perhaps can work in some morning services, because so many questions have been asked me concerning the resurrection. Might be able to bring a couple messages relative to that. The mystery particularly of the rapture. Because those who are here on earth at the end time will not see death. And yet it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. How will men actually escape death? Because some will. And this is contrary, actually, in a sense, to the Word of God, because resurrection means you've got to die. There cannot be a resurrection without death. It's a literal coming back. And we may be able to discuss that, because, especially in the seventh seal, Brother Branham screams out in sheer prophecy exactly what is said in the Greek, that you will miss unless you know what the words mean. But he, by the Holy Ghost, knew and screamed out in prophecy the very thing that is taking place now. And I've actually got a writing here. I even forget where I took it from. I got my notes scribbled. And Brother Branham has said exactly what is said in the Bible. And yet you would have to search it and find it. You'd never guess it, never see it by reading it. It would take a prophet to unveil it. Because even if you searched it in the original, you still would not really understand it. So these things I think are important to us, but tonight I want to bring a message a little shorter, because these are about 2 hours apiece in order to cram the material in. And I thought it might be wise to bring a message which is upon the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we bow our heads in a word of prayer, and we'll go to the Word of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us the privilege of coming together. We say this, and yet we say it very superficially, because although we are thankful in a degree, we know that there will come a time when a meeting like this will be a memory, and then we would be, oh, so thankful to be able to come together. It'd be a lot like David, who had access to that water at that well he loved so well. And then there came a time when the enemy stood between him and that well of water, and suddenly he wanted that water more than he wanted anything in this world. And Lord, we feel this is the same thing here, that although we do appreciate, we're going to be honest in that, we don't appreciate half enough. Though we love a little, we don't love enough. Lord, we just admit, Lord, you pegged us exactly right. When you looked down here and wrote the history of the Laodicean church age, we plead guilty. Absolutely, O God, we say that thou art true, Lord, and we plead guilty. Looking for grace, it's all we can claim, O God, crouching like a beggar, destitute, begging, relying 100% upon you. Help us, Lord, to learn to be truly grateful, truly understanding. Now, Father, we pray according to your word that you have the Holy Spirit. Now, open this Bible to us, your own word, giving us the words to say with the proper understanding, so the people also might hear and understand. And together, O God, we progress in this life until we're caught away to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen. Now, we'll go to our Bibles and begin in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and in verse 16. Well, we might as well read verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth. The actual word is not to bring with him, to bring forth with him. Now you notice it says here that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, if we believe in a resurrection, then you cannot stop there. You can't do it. You've got to see the rest of it. See, those that sleep are going to be brought forth with him, just like he was brought forth by the power of God, and came back in a glorified body. That's got to happen. You don't separate them. They're one and the same. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that means thus saith the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. What them? Those that come out of the graves. With them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we turn to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 to 10, and find another aspect of this coming. Paul speaking said, unto you who are troubled, rest with us. These are persecuted, burdened people, and they seem to be tossed and torn, and they don't have the rest that their great apostle has. Because remember, Paul lived in such assurance that is almost unbelievable. If you study his life and read those triumphant messages he brings forth out of the problems of life, you are amazed. In fact, if you want to have a real treat, buy yourself a little book by Wade, W-A-Y, a professor of Oxford University. And he translates the Pauline epistles. And every now and then a little heading says, a hymn. A hymn of triumph. And that's exactly how the Bible's written. It's written, it's not written like we read it, some old a book of what do you call prose, and we go along jiggity jiggity jog, hitting the bumper too. Why, Paul the Apostle, like those holy inspired men of God, going over those rough old fields and the bloody seas of life, come to a place of a moment, as it were, of a trial, and suddenly the Spirit of God descends, the hymn of triumph rolls out in the face of disaster, and the crowd in the Holy Ghost. Read that little book. Get it. It only cost you about $1.85 or so. If you haven't got it, I'll help you buy one. Fantastic. See? Fantastic. See? Rest with us, he said. Rest with us.
Yes.
See?
Rest.
Get in that rest. That rest of faith, see? When now he says, when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. And they say annihilation is not in the Bible. Well, some people won't say to prove a point. The only proof point that proves their ignorance. This word in the Greek means total destruction. And it doesn't mean continual destroying. It says it puts an end to it. And they say there's an eternal hell. Why do you think preachers believe in eternal hell? So they can scare the people out of hell into heaven. You couldn't come no matter how scared you were, because he said, you can't come unless the Father draws you. And he said, with cords of love have I drawn you. I loved you before you knew who you were. Who are you going to believe? A bunch of preachers or God? You say, Brother Dave, you're tough on preachers. You bet, because those birds led me astray, and they sure got Brother Branham in trouble. It just takes a bunch of preachers to mess things up. Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, I'm with my colleagues every bit of the way. But I'll tell you, it's got to be God's way, because that's the only way I'm fussy about it. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction, not destroying, now it's a finished work, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Notice where Paul puts it. He said, if it hadn't been for this testimony, you wouldn't have got there. And then people don't want a prophet, apostle, or a pastor, or a teacher, or something like that, huh?
Amen.
See, my. All right. That's not going to be rough on you. Just going to exhort you a little bit. Let's go to Revelation, the 10th chapter. Still talking about the second coming here, reading about it. 10th chapter of Revelation, last book in the Bible. This chapter is known as an interpolation. It's set in there. It could have set anywhere. This chapter could have set anywhere, but God set it here.
See?
Because it doesn't belong between 9 and 11. Chronologically, you know, it's put in here. See? Now, and I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that time should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as God hath declared by, not to, but by his servants, the prophets. Now, for many years, our fundamentalists have set forth that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is interpreted as his literal return from heaven to earth, takes place in two phases. I think they should have said two facets, but we'll call it two phases to please them. He first shall come for his church, which is the bride, in a secret rapture. According to their teaching, she is taken from the graves in a resurrection. Then the living are changed, like unto those who are resurrected, and together they are all caught up to meet the Lord in the air, where they say they will remain with him at the wedding supper of the Lamb for seven complete years. This is how they explain 1 Thessalonians 1:13-16. Then at the end of that time, the second facet will come into view. For Christ and his bride will return to earth openly, the enemies of God will be destroyed, and the kingdom of our God shall be set up upon the earth. This, they say, is in 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. So thus, to quickly break down this doctrine, which is in the fundamental churches, we find that the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his corporal body has two facets. Number one, he is coming for his own, and number two, he is coming with his own. Now, however, you have noticed that I read in Revelation 10:1-6, and there is a mighty messenger whose description can only be that of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. And you will notice that he is neither coming for his own, nor is he coming with his own, and yet he has descended to the earth, for his feet are on land and sea. Now, right away, see, in the fundamental camps, the argument will come. This cannot be the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be somebody else, because there are only two facets. He comes for his own, and he comes with his own. So they say it's got to be somebody else. Now, also they could say, if this mighty messenger has anything to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it is but a figure. It is not an actual return to the earth. Now, you see, here is where people go wrong in their theology. They take their traditions, and then they try to prove their traditions by the Bible. And when the Bible says something else, they've got to explain it away. See? They got to, because no man has ever included this in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me a book. Show me a book where this verse is set forth as the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, see? So they've got to explain it away. Now, to fully reveal the folly of their tradition, see, that he came once and he'll come once again. Now, when he comes the second time, he is coming for his own and stopping in midair, then coming back with his own. They say that is how he comes. But let me reveal to you the folly of their tradition, which their own scholars will reveal to them, but not having the Spirit of God, they cannot bring it to the people. See? Now, let's turn to the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter. This is one of my favorite passages I never get tired of expounding. Now, in this 4th chapter of Ephesians, beginning at verse 7, well, verse 8 is fine. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, watch 9 and 10. Now, he that ascended. Now, notice, he's talking about the one that ascended, and he's going to qualify or examine the one that ascended upon what grounds He did it, and who he is. Now watch it. What is it, see, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. Now notice the subject. He's talking about him that ascended. Now who is he that ascended? He that led captivity captive, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is he, and how did he do it? He came down here and took upon himself the robe of flesh, died upon Calvary, went to a tomb, went into Hades, the Spirit went back to God. Now look at the Scripture said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. They laid his body in the tomb, which he did, the body did not corrupt. The soul went down into hell, and he said, into thy hands, O God, I commend my spirit. The tripartite one called Jesus Christ split and went in three directions. Spirit went back to God. The soul went to Hades. The body went to the ground. Now, that's Bible. I don't care what you believe or what I believe. That's Bible. You can't challenge it. See? Then that spirit came down, picked up the soul, spoke to the souls in prison, led toward the gates of hell off, led them up to the ground, wrote them in their bodies, and came forth and ascended. Now let's take a look at this. How he ascended. I think I can find it. I'm lucky if I haven't got Ned here to tell me where it is. Oh, I got a thing in Philippians, and maybe Ned knows another place too. Philippians 2. Wherefore, ninth verse, God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven. So he's got to be above the highest heavens.
Amen.
Now this is complete, absolute exaltation. This is the highest heights man can ascend to, and notice he ascended, see? But he's the one that descended first to the lower parts of the earth, and brought them up. Now, you follow me? Now look in verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he may fill all things in all. Now the casual reader, see, the casual reader thinks that verse number 10 is a repeat of verse number 9, which would be a tautological expression. I had to spring that $50 word in you because some of you think I'm pedantic or educated, erudite, and all the rest, and I'm not. But if you don't know what the $50 word is, it's a 25 English word, dollar word that means redundancy. If you know what that means repetition. I may sound a little sarcastic now, and forgive me because I am. Because you see, some people are very foolish. I need a little rap of the knuckles. And it's better I should wrap them lightly than we get them broiled. Yet this is not repetition. This is not saying the same thing in verse 9. It's saying something entirely different. For it says, he that came down and took upon himself the robe of flesh, and then descended to bring about a resurrection, and was exalted by God above the very heavens, it says that same one came down again.
Read it.
Don't be skeptical. This is not a fine, brilliant mind telling you this, because my fine, brilliant mind didn't find it, but the fine, brilliant mind of Dr. Vincent and Dr. Vine and all the Greek students know that this is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He came back as the Holy Ghost.
Right.
See? He descended. You follow me? He descended. This one that God exalted came back. He came down. Let's find out if this is true. In John the 14th chapter, verses 16, 20, and I will pray the Father, and he, the Father, shall give you disciples, you people, another comforter, that he, that comforter, may abide with you forever. Now that's a statement of fact. Now again, he qualifies his statement of fact. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because if the world seeth him not, see, what's seeing here? He's talking as Isaiah spoke. You can't see because your eyes are blinded. It is spiritual revelation. As Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know. See, they don't know him. Neither knows him. But you know him. Who did they know? They knew Jesus Christ. See? For he dwelleth with you. Who was dwelling with them? Jesus was dwelling with them. And shall be in you. Jesus shall be in them. See? I, he said, will not leave you. I, Jesus Christ, will come to you. See? All right. Now, going down here in the 23rd verse. I think it is. Yes. And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. How? In him. He said, the comforter come. I am coming. The Father is coming. The three in one is coming. All three are coming. All this.
Right.
See? And he came back. He descended as the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And yet our theological students have the unmitigated gall to stand up and tell us there's only one return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's him coming in a corporal body. He has already come back.
Yes.
Amen.
Came back 2,000 years ago as the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, right here is where you see people go wrong again. There are some people who caught on to this, and they understood he didn't come back as the Holy Ghost. And they said, hallelujah, that takes care of it. You don't need to look for him to come back in the flesh now, because he ain't no such thing. You got the Holy Ghost that does it. So from now on, you go to him. Then what are you going to do with 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 16? Because it says he's got to come back and pick you up in midair. See how they ball up? You can make as you think you can make the Bible say anything in this world, but the Bible only says one thing, which is the truth. See? Then they get the idea. I say there's no second coming, so what it is, you go to him when you die. They always mess up. Now, let's see if I'm scripturally correct in my understanding of this Word of God. Is there not sufficient proof in the whole Bible to show us that the fundamentals are wrong concerning this question of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it is all about? Certainly there are. What are you going to do with the appearing of God in the Garden of Eden? He had to come down to do it. It says he did. What are you going to do when God appeared to Abraham and Sarah? He came down and he appeared as a man. What will you do about the fact he came down and appeared to Samson's parents? Because the scripture does not say, my name is secret. That's a wrong translation. It says, my name is wonderful, and his name is wonderful. Tells you who he is, see? What about that one that came down and stood in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew children? What about that flame of fire that enveloped the bush, and the bush did not burn? What about that cloud that kept them cool by day, and the pillar of fire that kept them cool by night? What about that pillar of fire that came down at Pentecost where 120 names, as you say, were baptized with the Holy Ghost and a little bit went in each one? What are you going to do about that pillar of fire that came down and blinded Paul? He said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus.
Amen.
Now where is all your talk gone concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ in this facet or that facet? He went away once, will come back once. He went away once, he's already come back as the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they take their little cliches, as it were, in their dead traditions and try to destroy the facts of the Word of God. That the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so called, in his corporal body, has three facets. The end time has three facets and not just two, see? Now notice all these occurred on earth. When he came to the garden, he came to Abraham, came to Samson, came to the Hebrew children, came down as that pillar of fire, came down to Paul. These were not visions. This is not like Ezekiel saying, I was by the river Chebar and I saw visions of God. Now, he didn't have visions from God, though that was true. He had visions from God of God.
Right.
A big difference, see? These were seen visibly. God descended. God's the Lord Jesus Christ. He absolutely descended with all these occurring on earth as he appeared. Thus, it is not strange to find the scripture sets forth concerning this second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he's going to receive it to himself and then come back with his bride, that there are not two facets
But there are three facets, and this is absolutely wonderfully scriptural because God does everything in threes. Yes, He does. Now, let's turn again to the 10th chapter of the book of Revelation, and let us see if my thesis is absolutely correct. Although I have the prophet's word for it, let's just lay aside the prophet's word. Remember, when Brother Branham, the pillar of fire, appeared and opened the seal, he had to go to his word to check that it was positively the right spirit. All right, if he had to do, what about you and me? So we go to the word. We're reading again. And I saw another mighty messenger come down heaven. Now the word agalos, of course, is in the Greek, but it's the same also in the Hebrew, which I mean is this. A messenger is a messenger. He's an angel. He can be a physical earthly angel, or he can be a physical heavenly angel. The reason I say heavenly is because spirit is, to me, a physical thing in the sense that it's real, it's a substance. See, there's something real about it. So I just used the term loosely there, you understand. Now, I saw another mighty messenger come down heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ himself is a messenger. If we go to the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. He said here in verse 1, Behold, I send my messenger before my face, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant.
Right.
Who is the messenger of the covenant? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Notice, he is his own covenant messenger.
Right.
God, his own messenger.
Yes,
see? Not trusting someone else with the message. He himself.
Right.
See? Bringing the message. Now, he came down heaven. He's clothed with the cloud. This same Jesus was caught up in the clouds, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Behold, he cometh with clouds. This description absolutely, without contradiction, is concerning Jesus the Christ because he comes with clouds. Now notice, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now let's look at this. Examine scripture for one moment. Where is the rainbow? The rainbow is around the throne.
Yes.
All right. What throne? The throne of God.
Right.
But he said, I am sitting on my Father's throne.
Yes.
See? So where's the rainbow? It's over the head of him and him alone that sits on the throne.
Amen.
Right? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else has the rainbow. Now notice, again, the rainbow is a rainbow covenant. But you know, we're like a bunch of little kids. We go out in the meadows, we see the sun shining after the rainstorm, and the beautiful rainbow comes out, and we rhapsodize the rainbow, and we get all happy, take our skipping ropes and talk about the pot of gold, and say, isn't that beautiful? Oh, what a lovely covenant. Oh, what a sweet thing. You better watch what you're talking about. That rainbow is not a sweet, lovely covenant. It is a covenant of God's predicted wrath and disaster.
Amen.
Because he said, when I come that second time, I won't come with water, I'll
Amen.
Come with fire, destroy the earth. And the men upon the earth that are destroying it, see? So therefore, if this one is coming with the rainbow, it is the covenant of God Almighty judgment as he's coming back to this earth to destroy them and destroy the world.
Yes.
See? Don't you get all beautifully thought inside here now, happy inside here. This is some sweet little extra covenant. No, sir, this is God's absolute covenant that when he comes, he'll not destroy the water, but he will destroy it by fire. Am I right?
Amen.
Go back to Genesis to find out.
Amen.
Says so, see? All right. Now notice, his face as it were the sun. Correct. That's what Revelation 1 says. His face as it were the sun. This is what struck Paul. That beautiful face, lighting up like the sun, only many times brighter. It doesn't say it was the sun. It says like it. And the sun is the most luminous body, as far as we're concerned. There may be greater suns. I'm not concerned about them. But because they have no effect on us, In the sense I'm talking about,
yes.
God has said this face is like the sun because that's all we know.
Right. Amen.
But it's greater, don't worry. The sun will cease to shining one day when his really starts to shine
Amen.
And look upon us in glory. Now, it says his feet were as pillars of fire. And then Yes, in pillars of fire, and notice where they are. They are upon the earth. And it says he had in his hand a little book open. Where is this from? This is that little book that who took out of the hand of him that sits upon the throne. This is that bleeding lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah, who took the book and opened it. Notice, it is open.
Yes.
See?
Right.
And he said his little book open, and he said his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Now, let's just stop and see a moment here. His foot is upon the sea, and his foot is upon the earth. But you will notice here that the description of though his feet are on the earth, it still mentions the face like the sun, covered with a cloud, and the rainbow over the shoulder. Now, where are clouds? Where is the sun? And where is the rainbow? It is all in the upper. See? Now, where is our headship? Where is governing sovereign authority? It is vested in the throne of God. See? It's just the feet that are on earth. So what is this? Brother Branham tells you categorically, in doing God a service of positive His will in Shreveport, that the high ring of mystery and this actual portrayal here is God manifesting in the heavens and the earth. See? See, He hasn't come down in the corporal body to do it. But he's manifesting in earth. Now, let me show you what I feel is the best explanation I can give of this. We go to the book of John, the 3rd chapter. Just hold your finger here, at least have it ready to turn back. John, the 3rd chapter. And it's in verse 13, I do believe. Now, Jesus in verse 12 was saying, I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how should you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no, notice now, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the bread of God, the Word, which if a man does not eat, he has no life in him. See? He's going as he says here, and no man hath ascended to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, here is Nicodemus coming. And he sees this man there, and he's puzzled. He said, why, that's a man. But he said he's only doing what God can do. I like that. Some people are so blind, and they think they have intelligence, education, intellectual powers and all, and yet they'll deny God. When they can't explain him the leaf on a tree. But here was this man, fine man Nicodemus, and he was puzzled. He saw a man there. But he couldn't really identify God in the way he ought to identify, but he knew God was there anyway. So he said, look at, he said, man, he said, you got to be something come from God, he said. You got to have something going for you. Because, he said, you're a man, and you're doing only what God can do. See? And he called him teacher, rabbi. In other words, he thought maybe Jesus had learned some little secret. Oh, boy. There's always somebody figure there's a gimmick somewhere. Prophet of God discerned today. Oh, he's got a little telephone rigged up. Sure, he has straight to heaven. He's not so little. Oh, they figure things out. They said, now that's got to be God doing it, but there's a man there. And so Jesus said, he just turned around and said, listen, you got it right, but you're still wrong. Because he said, you can't apprehend what I'm talking about. You're limited. So he threw this sword of curve at him, as it were. Even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, I want to show you what I see there. Here stood the Lord God of glory, veiled in human flesh. But notice, never once did this one veiled in flesh ever exhibit himself as creator or sovereign ruler. Not once. He said, only what I hear my Father saying, what I see my Father do, that I say and that I do. See? But remember, he was God. He also did never create one thing upon earth. He did mighty miracles, but he never created.
Right.
Turned water into wine, raised the dead, broke loaves and fishes, but he did not create.
Right.
Now, you may say that was created. I beg to differ with you. He started with something here. Creation is starting with nothing.
Yes. Amen.
See? Now, what is it? He was God limiting himself by changing his mask and becoming man amongst men to redeem them, and yet being God, he was reigning from the glory seat, sovereign God over the whole world, and next. Now he does the same thing in reverse. Yes, sir. He doesn't come down in corporal body. This here. But he is manifesting himself exactly as he did when he was back there. And even going further, because he proves that he is Elohim, not just Jehovah, but Elohim, the great creator, through the life of the prophet, which we may discuss later on. See what I mean? It's just the reverse. This is the reverse of John 3:13, where they saw the man, and here he was, God in that man, and yet the sovereign God fading himself, but still God ruling from that throne by his power. Now it's just reversed. He hasn't come down corporately, but he's doing that same thing. Now, we go a little further. And it says here, he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. Now, who's got the voice of a lion? It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, secondly, notice here again, it says when he had cried, seven thunders under the voices. See, seven thunders, which is completion, which is of God. And who thunders? God thunders. In the 12th chapter of the book of John, it says, he said, glorify me with the former glory I had. And the voice said, I have both glorified you, glorified you again, and so on. And the people said, well, it thundered. See, and the Bible speaks always of the voice of God and the voice of thunder. Now, and he says here, when the seven thunders of the voice, I was about to write, and I heard a voice saying, so and so and so and so. Now, notice, it says here, and this one whose feet were upon the land and sea, what does he do? He lifted up his hand toward heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever. Now listen to me. Only God can swear by God. I don't care anybody else says. You say, I'm going to go back to the book of Daniel. I'll prove an angel, an archangel. You'll find that one was Christ himself. Sure. Let's go back here to the book of Hebrews. I don't know if it's 5 or 6 chapter, like the 6th chapter, yeah. Verse 13, and when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself.
Amen.
Now the Bible says you can't swear by God, you can't swear by heaven, you can't swear by earth, you can't swear, period.
Right.
How could anybody but God swear by God? The eternal Elohim has come down to earth, veiled and masked.
Yes. Amen.
Proving he is God.
Yes.
The same yesterday, today, and forever. But it's in the feet which we'll talk about. See, this is God, the very Lord of glory. Now, he swears by himself, and when he swears, well, let's read a little further. Saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying I'll multiply thee. What's he talking to? Abraham. See? Now notice, the multiplication of God's oath comes right to the end of the 7 church ages. And when the time of multiplication is over, it's finished. That covenant's finished. Run out. Run out! The last elected body, member to the body of Jesus Christ is in. Surely that's what it says. You understand that. Now, and notice it says here, that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You see, I know some of you folk doubt what I'm telling you tonight. I'm going to prove your doubts are wrong, though. In the 5th chapter of the book of James, it distinctly says here, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, because the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. Here it is, Abraham here, is Jesus there, he's typing this. Waiting for it. Waiting for that multiplication table to run out. See? Now what's he doing over here? He lifts up his hand and he swears, what? That the time has run out of the multiplication of the seed of Abraham. The last one's in. Time's no longer. Now he swears by himself. Let's see if this is scriptural. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and 14, it says, unto the messenger of the church, which is in Laodicea, write these things. These things saith the Amen. The winder upper.
Right.
It's all over. It's amen, amen to what? The oath that he swore by himself. Abraham, I'm going to multiply you as the stars of the heavens. Now, Abraham doesn't have indiscriminate seed. There's only so many. Why do you say that? Because as in Adam, they all died. Even so in Christ, they'll all be made alive. A certain number, and that's all. Election. See? That's right. You can't get away from it. Now he says here, I'm the God of the Amen. Then who is this? He tells you, it is the revelation of this one introducing himself to a church age for the last time. I'm Jehovah God. I'm not only Jehovah as it were in my projection. I'm Elohim.
Amen.
The covenant God. Amen. That's what he is, the covenant God. Coming down and swearing by himself to his elected. Cheering Abraham. Abraham, you're soon going to have them gathered in. Hallelujah. Going to sit down with Father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
Glory to God, the wedding supper's at hand.
Amen.
It's wind-up time.
Yes.
I'm swearing by myself. Just like I swore back then, I'm swearing again. Glory to God. I started with an oath. I'll end with an oath. I've said it. I'm going to perform it. Stand behind my word to watch it.
Yes.
If any man broke it, it'll never happen. Amen. You see it? If this isn't the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't even know what the Bible's all about. Here he is. Come down for his own, the Alpha and Omega. Now, since this is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it sure is, and he is manifesting in the heaven and the earth, and since he has neither come for his own, nor has he come with his own, exactly what he is doing. What is he doing? That's the whole key. What is he doing? According to the word of God, he is crying out with the voice of thunder, the seven sealed mystery of Revelation and himself, announcing the end of a designated period of time. See? But notice, where is his head? It is in heaven where the throne is. Then how can he speak? Did you notice where his feet were? You say they're on earth. Do you notice what his feet are? They're pillars of fire.
Right.
So what's come down to earth? The pillar of fire.
Right.
That's what come down. How did God descend to bring the word and the deliverance of God to Israel, which types our Exodus? In the third chapter, I believe, of the book of Exodus, you'll find exactly what the prophet gave us the key to. For it says in verse 8, I have descended. You say, Brother Bill, you read it wrong. It's to come on down. Well, what's to come on down except to descend?
Right. Right.
Look at the Hebrew, it's the same thing. I have descended to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, which is Babylon today. See? Notice verse 10, come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou, Moses, may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Yes.
God came down by the pillar of fire and the word, and endued a prophet to deliver God's people,
yes,
to put them in the land, yes, that he would have to get them into, though this man got them out.
Right.
That's what the scripture says. Now, how did he do it? By the pillar of fire.
Yes, sir. Right.
How did God speak to John the Baptist? By a pillar of fire. How did God speak to Paul? By the same pillar of fire.
Right.
See? How has he promised to do it today then? By the same pillar of fire, by the same method he's always done it, which is Revelation 10 and 7. Let's read it. Read that little portion now. For it says, but in the days of the voice. See? Of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, which means to blow upon a trumpet. It's a gospel trumpet. See? Here's where the mystery lies. If you don't understand by the Holy Ghost, someone authenticated to bring the interpretation, you can get all fouled up and actually put the saints in the tribulation by logical scriptural interpretation. For Paul says, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ be raised, and everybody thinks that's the seventh trumpet of the seventh trumpeting angel from heaven, when it's not, it's the seventh trumpet of the man here on earth on a gospel trumpet.
Hear that. Hear that. Right.
And the funniest thing in the world, contrary to my own thinking years ago, is this. There are two last trumpets.
Right.
There could even be more. By investigation. There's a last gospel trumpet. And there's a last seventh messenger, seventh angel trumpet that comes in heaven.
Yes.
But this trumpet is on earth. See? Let's show you this. In the book of Revelation, of course, it's the ninth chapter. The eighth chapter, I guess it is. Let me see now. No, it's the ninth chapter. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns. See? Of the golden rod, which is before God, saying the sixth angel, which had the trumpet loose, the four angels, and so on. And in verse 15, it says the seventh angel sounded. See? These are two different angels.
Right.
They're in heaven.
Right.
This one is here on earth.
Right.
See? And he's sounding on his trumpet. Now, this is the seventh church age messenger. Because there are only seven messengers given to man upon earth. There in Revelation, the second chapter, third chapter, the first angel, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. And who are they? They're men. As I said on Saturday night, if you want to know what the actual truth says about those stars, they are not seven luminary bodies, or luminous bodies. Although that's true. The actual word in the Greek is what we get the word star from, which is a movie star, a football star, a baseball star, which means the preeminent one amongst many like him.
Yes.
And that's where people go wrong preachers do. And you may be sitting here as a preacher, I don't need Brother Brandon. That's right, you don't need him. Sure, you don't need him. He wasn't meant for you. Might as well rub it in. I've been known as a hard hitter. And I am a hard hitter. It's okay by me. You can run them down and think you know it all. But you don't know your Bible. The preeminent one of many like him means I've got a bunch of men lined up here, and there's one man of every age, and he pulls his coat around him, and he comes up there, and he smiles. He looks like the rest. You say, who's that little fella come in? That's God's ordained messenger that you've got to hear for this age. You say, hogwash. I've got the Holy Ghost. I don't need any man to teach me. Listen, if you think John the Apostle meant that, what do you think the Archibes would have done when John said it? He'd have said, all right, big mouth, shut up and sit down. You're a man and you're teaching. Why wouldn't he? The Archibes would love preeminence. The man that gave John all that heartache. When John said that, you don't need a man to teach you. Now you got the Holy Ghost. He just said, well, you're a man, sit down. John didn't mean that. Read the chapter. He's telling you about the truth. You don't need a man to point out the truth. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll gravitate toward it. And if it's not true, you've got a filter that'll wash it out. Read your conjugate. See? Here's a man. He looks like any other man. Our church age messenger. Now, when he was young, he was handsome. He still looked awful pretty when he got older, as far as I'm concerned. I kind of like Judge Sullivan's wife. He's about as homely a man ever lived. His wife came in one day. I swear he was the prettiest thing he ever saw. And the guy said, he didn't mad. He said, that he was love. He knew all the time. Well, it was love, as far as I'm concerned. But you put him here, and he would be the most humble of all of us. He would be the most unassuming.
Right.
When Pentecostal preachers and so-called divine healers would be up there like a bunch of whirling dervishes doing this and that, little old Brother Branham humbly come tippy-toe in and tippy-toe up.
Right.
They said, Brother Branham, I don't believe you're a teacher. I heard a man say, I believe you are. You ought to speak to healing and heal the teacher. He said, well, brother, that could be certainly right. I'll be glad to let you teach it. Just go and take over. Go ahead. He said, take over. Why? Because they saw a little humble fellow. He looked like everybody else, maybe even less than anybody else. And God says, that's the preeminent one. That's my star.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
But you say, well, I've got something too. damnation of fire, and they went to hell with the Jew.
Not to lead you into sin, but to lead you somewhere you got to realize there's one message for this age, said Jesus Christ to the Laodicean ages, repent.
Amen.
Repent is the one message he's got.
That's right.
And one thing I've got for you is a club, because many as thou love, I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent.
Amen.
And you can't repent unless you're dead wrong.
Amen.
Do you want to go a little further? And I'm not speaking on Laodicean church age, but when Jesus Christ said, come to me and buy, that word in the Greek means to redeem. He said, you redeem what you threw down and I picked up. Something happened to the day of grace, brother, sister, so watch it. It says nobody got through to him. It says they've all turned to him, but he better get through to him, and he sent a prophet to do it. Listen, the seventh church age, the gospel of grace to the Gentiles closes out because there are no more ages. It has to, because at the end of the seventh age is completion, and that does it. And this is the messenger of the seventh church age, and he's a man. He is positively not an angel from heaven, because I showed you that. What the angels do in heaven is a momentary blast, and it starts up there and it comes down here. Number one starts there, comes here, two there, and here, and three there, and down here, and four up there, and down here, and five up there, down here, six, and seven. But this man wasn't up there, he was down here. And it's not a momentary thing, and he's not causing cataclysms and havoc, but he's preaching.
Amen.
In the days of the voice,
amen,
the voice of the seven messenger, when he shall blow on his gospel trumpet, the mystery of God, Christ the mystery of God, should be revealed. See? Now, notice in here, the mystery should be finished. What's finished? It's concluded and brought to perfection. It's brought to perfection. It wasn't perfect in age number one. It wasn't perfect in two. It wasn't perfect in three. It wasn't in four. But the Bible said there's coming a time when they without us cannot be made perfect. So therefore we've got to be perfect, and they'll come up.
Amen.
That's when it's finished. You say God's not working, I defy. He's working right now on his bride to get her finished and perfect.
Amen.
And it's got to come in the days of this man's voice, and it's got to be this man's voice, or why does God put it in here? This is not redundant here. This is not just mere repetition. When God puts a word in here, he doesn't put it in for fun. He said it's in the days of the voice. He said it's the voice that's going to do it. For the Lord shall descend him with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. The chief messenger. The star. The preeminent one. He's a human being, and he's down here, and he's in this period where this mighty one descends as the pillar of fire. See? Now notice, he is a man, an ordinary human being, but with him is the pillar of fire, which is what? The anointing. See? Which is what? Which is Christ. That's right, the anointing is Christ. The anointing is the pillar of fire. The anointing is the Logos. Logos, pillar of fire, anointing Christ. Now we've got half a dozen here, haven't we? Anointing, pillar of fire, Logos, that's four. Glory to God. I believe I can name 10 more, too. Still one person. See? Now, he is here, having descended by the pillar of fire, which is the Logos, which is the anointing, which is Christ. Notice, therefore, this anointing is the prophet. Like Brother Jack said last night, our message is overlapped, don't worry. This is the prophet. He, Christ, is the prophet. Not the man, William Branham. What is William Branham? He's a man. He is termed the prophet in order to designate and to place him in a special ministry. But he himself is not the prophet. Because man of himself is not a prophet. God is his own prophet. It's the Spirit of Christ in those prophets that prophesied. For the Bible said the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David, and David was a man, but the Holy Ghost was God. God was his own prophet. Let me show you something here. In 2 Corinthians, I believe it is. I don't know. Ned, you've got to come and rescue if I can't find it. Sure glad he's here. Maybe I can find it if I'm just lucky here.
In 2 Corinthians, anyway, it's got to be this third chapter. And, but we all with open face, in verse 18,
yes,
beholding as in a glass.
Yes.
Now, it's not beholding, it's reflecting. The word in the Greek is not behold, it's reflect. I'm not twisting these, brother and sister. I know the King James Version is the best version there is, but the prophet himself said that the prophet was a reflector. Right? You read the tape. Where's Jack? Come on, Jack. You're my. Hey, thank you. That's right, right? Thank you. He knows where to find it. I'll talk about it. He can find it. The prophet is a reflector, and we, in turn, are little reflectors. See? Now, what's he reflecting? The Word of God, which is Christ, which is the anointing, which is the Logos, which is God himself, which is the great prophet. See? Now, this prophet is God himself. Listen to me. What the prophet said, it is God himself amongst the people. He is revealing himself, making himself known. See, what is he doing? He is appearing, now this is my word, backing up by scripture. Now, I don't have to back a prophet up, but I want to break it down because he told the preacher to break it down. Is that right, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, a lot of people don't believe these things. You say, we're paying each other. Well, I wonder what we're getting for it. All right, verse 1 just to start with. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And William Branham started as a little kid.
Yeah, right.
See? Born a prophet. Oh, Pentecostal people say, ain't no such thing. You don't believe in election. It's a dirty word. Then tell God he's dirty, will you? Predestination is a prefixed destiny.
Right.
Call God a fool. Sure. Tell God he can't be God if he does it. Why was it? Did you like animals in heaven? Do you think animals got saving grace? Remember, the serpent was an animal, and he made it with Eve, had coitus. And if you don't believe that, why does the Talmud say? The Talmud, which was the main book of instruction in the day of Jesus Christ, says in the book of Abimelech, chapter page 23b, and the serpent had coitus with Eve and bore Cain. As in Adam, they died in Christ and made alive, but Cain was not in Adam.
Right.
And you don't believe in election and call God some kind of a beast because you're reprobate? Shame on you. But this is one subject I know. Because you see, God said it on my heart before Brother Brandon preached. The woman in the garden, the woman at the end, naked. And God has spoke to me and said, you notice in the book there, where there was a beast in the garden at the first and then the beast at the end? He comes right back, brother, sister. He's not a man, he's a beast.
Right.
So Brother Branham preached on the woman naked in the beginning and naked at the end, one clothed with the glory of God and one with shame. And I said, Brother Branham, now that you've preached that sermon, may I be so bold as to say something to you? I said, God just gave me that little thought, the beast at the beginning, the beast at the end. And I said, you preached that sermon on the woman at the first, the woman at the end. Now, the same thing with the beast. Would you preach that? He said, why don't you do it? Well, I said, I can't. I said, in the first place, I don't have spiritual insight. I can't take him from Genesis to Revelation. That takes a prophet like you. I said, secondly, you're the master of the six-hour sermon. That's a six-hour one. So that's the paper we're reading at first chapter here in Tucson. He winked his eye to see. He said, Doc, because I'm seeing. He said, you know, I got a friend called E. Dale. He said, he suggested I have a certain message about the serpent. He said, in the beginning, a beast at the first, the beast then. He said, so I'm going to preach that sermon. It's called The Trail of the Serpent. He never preached. I couldn't preach it, never will. But I know one thing that God laid in my heart. Serpent seeds right. Serpent seeds right, brother, sister. 100%. It's in the history. It's exactly what Jesus said to Israel. You're not the children of Abraham. And they said, we be not born of fornication, and fornication is premarital sex.
Right.
And she was pregnant by the serpent before Adam got to her. All right, this child Samuel, he was a prophet to begin with, right? Born that way. Just like Jeremiah, before he was formed in the belly, I knew you. Where was he before he formed in the belly? In the mind of God.
spoken word's original seed. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Vision, vision, vision. See? Right. Verse 7, now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. Verse 15, and Samuel lay down until morning, and the doors opened to the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He caused the revealed word of God, which was not by the eyesight, but by the inner eye, he called it a vision. I want to have a vision of God, Brother Dale, for so long. And let the Holy Ghost open your eyes to the Word and you'll see Him.
Amen.
I thought I'd get you screaming, you bunch of penny farmers. In the old days, you'd have tore up the floor by just strumming on a guitar. And I have dropped you one of the most glorious secrets of all the ages, and I didn't get a scream. It's all right. I just hope you're silent enough to get it. I said you wanted a vision of Christ for years, and you haven't got it. The Bible tells you how to get a vision. Let God reveal His Word to you, and you've got a vision of God. Because He said this is a vision. Now, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again. Now, please watch my hands. My hand is behind the sheet. It appeared. It goes back. It appeared. See? The Lord appeared again. He must have appeared before. To Samuel and Shiloh. How? For the Lord appeared by revealing Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now listen to me. The word appeared in the Hebrew is ra'ah, which means to see. To see. See it. See it. See it. I don't see nothing. That's right, you're blind. Not being offensive now, I'm not saying this, you see, to you people here. I'm just saying in my mind what Christ said to Israel. He said, see it. Couldn't see a thing. Couldn't see a thing. There stood God. There stood the Word. There stood the fulfilled Word of God, Jesus Christ. They couldn't see a thing. He said, just like the Bible, it's like I told you. Your eyes are blind. You can't see a thing. Like the man said to Brother, why are you blind? He said, you're already blind. He said, I wouldn't believe us up. He said, that's right. He said, it wasn't meant for you. Ra'ah means to appear or to be seen. Now listen, the word revealed is a sort of a dirty word. I mean, it's a kind of a bad word, see? It means, it is galah, which means to denude, as to strip a body naked and nothing is hidden. Right. What's he talking about? Have you ever stopped to think as a child you always were mystified by the human body? The body of people, even in children, is intriguing and mysterious because of the difference of the sexes. Take off all the clothes and there's no mystery left. That's exactly how it stands. Now listen, here was a man. Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and so on. The virgin shall even be a child. And there he stood. And John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And they put him upon a cross, ripped his clothes off. And this was the word of God absolutely revealed. And the veil of the temple was rent. And they saw the mercy seat right over that ark. And they saw him. There was God absolutely made bare and naked. And that's what this word says. God revealed, made bare, naked, no mystery, nothing hidden. That's God revealed, and they see Him as He is. How? By the word that came to the prophet. Hallelujah, because that's exactly right. Listen to me. God is revealed. You hear what I said? God is revealed. Why? You see now why Brother Branham said God's the Word? God is the Word. Oh, that's hard for us to get. Well, God, since it's the Bible, oh, flippity-flip, 408 pages, know this. One, the God, therefore, is about 1020 pages in this book. Don't you see, Brother Sidney, we're talking about? This is God brought into plain view, and when something is in plain view, that substance, that's the Word.
Amen.
See? God revealed. Now, listen, carefully. God is revealed. He is seen.
He is seen. As it says in the Bible, there was once a time it was death to go into the Holy of Holies, and now it is death not to go into the Holy of Holies. There was a time when the blind, when the light of God would blind you, but today there's a time if you don't look in that light, you'll remain blinded and you'll die.
Amen.
I said, God is revealed. God is seen. Now listen carefully. As he was veiled in flesh, as he was once veiled in a cloud, or in a pillar of fire, see, or in the smoke, veiled in badger skins, as it were. Now, he must be veiled again in order to bring into manifestation that which cannot be seen unless something is done whereby the human senses can perceive him. I hope I said that exactly right. Because it's a long sentence. Now listen, let me say it again as simple as I can. And maybe a little quicker sentences. Something is invisible. That's God. He's spirit. You can't see him. But if he does something about himself, look, put it this way. There's I don't even know technical terms. I don't know if Jack can help me here on this. I don't know if anybody can. I'm too stupid to know all about it. Brother Shellen, Ken back there, because he knows electronics. But listen, there are little bits of electricity kind of things like going through wires. See, when you tune a car up, right? Now, little things, I don't know what they are even, going through those wires. But look, they're invisible. But you attach certain wires to a certain screen, and it's going zip, 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 zip right across there. See? The invisible is brought into plain view by clothing it with something that you can apprehend. See? All right, good. We got that down. Now listen then. The unseeable spirit, God, is clothed in spoken word and thereby revealed. Amen.
Amen.
The unseeable God, clothed in spoken word. See it? Now you can see it. Why? Because the womb is the mind, and the Holy Ghost, taking that very word, brings God into absolute view, so you see him as he is. See? Say, Brother Vail, I'll still make another prophet. No, you won't in just 1 minute. Not going to destroy my thought here, but just turn with me to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, please. John 3 and 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it hath not yet been made manifest. I'm not reading it wrong. Not reading it wrong is right. And it hath not yet been made manifest what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, or he shall be made manifest, what it says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Amen.
Now listen, brother and sister, and follow me closely, because I want to show you the dead fundamentalism, and we ourselves are guilty. We can read this scripture 1 million times and miss it unless you wake up. How? The Bible said, awake thou the sleeper and arise from amongst the dead, and Christ will give you life. Get out of your dead denomination and your dead thinking and your dead hypocrisy and your own pride, and bow yourself to the word of God as the prophet brings it forth. See, I've had great miracles. I don't care. 2 bits for your miracles. Has anybody ever prophesied here like Balaam? No, you and I altogether haven't done it. Did you live with Jesus Christ like Judas? Didn't get the same power Peter and the rest of them had? No. Did you ever have the Lord turn to you and say, be happy because your name's written in heaven? No. Yet Judas was a devil.
Right.
And Balaam died fighting Israel, so that much for miracle.
That's right.
I don't run them down now. I fuss about it, see? I'm putting it in the right place. Because you see, brother, sister, I say that much for miracles. If you don't take the right attitude.
Amen.
And no proof. See? Now listen. The scripture distinctly says this. That before you can get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, you have got to be changed. For it says the dead will come out of the ground and we're going to be changed. And together we'll be caught up. And it's then and only then that you see him. But John says you can't be changed
until you see him.
Amen. Come on now.
Right.
Come on, there it is. I didn't write the book, I'm just reading it to you the way it's written. Not the way my father's written, but the way it's written.
It says we're going to be like him.
See?
It has never come into manifestation yet. This thing is coming. But it says you've got to see him as he is.
Right.
And when you see him as he is, that will bring about your change. Then you can be caught up. But you can't be caught up till you see him as he is. But according to fundamentalism, you're only going to see him when you do get caught up. And where does that leave the world? Now,
more millions now living never die. Then failure means. I'm not mean, I'm just bringing up the Bible. I'd be mean if I didn't bring up the Bible.
Was Noah mean because only seven people got saved beside him? Was Noah some mean old person building an ark and then took in seven because they alone would come and the rest died? You mean, mean man? If this verse eliminates all but 500 or 700, whatever it is, the prophet said, is the prophet a mean, mean, mean man? Well, let's be honest in that. That's what the Bible teaches. It says you got to see him as he is. But listen to me. And listen carefully. The very apostles, did they see him as he was? No, sir. Christ said, listen, my dearly beloved, who do men say that I am? Oh, they said, you're Jeremiah, you're this or that. But he said, no, no, I'm not that. Peter, who do you say? And he said, son, that was the Christ.
Amen.
He said, flesh and blood didn't do that.
Right.
You didn't do it, Peter. And this flesh and blood, Jesus was flesh and blood. As the prophet said, Peter, listen to me. My life that I live, the flesh that you handle, I fish with you, I ink with you, I talk with you, you saw the miracle, but that didn't do it. It took a revelation.
All right.
Listen, brother, sister, without the revelation, they didn't see him as he was. When did they really see him as he was? Let's find out. Go to the book of Luke, please, if you want to get it. I think it's chapter 24. It comes to my mind that that's pretty close to being right. And it says over here in the book of Luke, he said here in verse 25, oh, fools and slow of heart, you believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered and entered in these things and then entered his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Right.
Brother, sister, you and I will never see God as he is except by the revelation of the Holy Ghost by the Word, because that's exactly how Samuel saw him.
Right.
I'm going to give you an illustration. Now, this is on tape, and I'm glad it's on tape because invariably, because I'm such a rough customer, my words are twisted. Now listen, to the best of my knowledge, I have loved and served Brother Branham.
I can prove it to you, but what's going through all that rigmarole?
I did my best to be a friend to him and help in this ministry.
God knows my heart, and that can be proven.
I believe you people believe that. But supposing I came to you tonight, and I said, folks, I want to know something. I want you to know something. I don't want to miss the rapture, so I got to confess my sins. You're looking at a hypocrite. I never loved Brother Branham, and I never loved the message. I just saw a good thing and I want to get on the bandwagon and make some money. Make some money, that's a laugh. But the thing is, let's put it that way. As I love the people of God, you say, that guy Dale, that's the first time I've seen him as he really is. Why? Because by my spirit, through words, revealing my heart, you know me. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Glory to God. Christ is for you. By the word of God revealed, you see him as he is. You cannot see him as he is. If he descends tonight and walked in on this, you would not see see him as he is. You could not see him as he is. It takes the Word of God to let him. I'll prove you by the Word of God. Over here in the book of John. If I get carried away, that's all right, because I'm be carried away about it. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. Why? Because it wouldn't do you any good. Wouldn't do you any good. It'd kill you. You'd never make it on seeing him. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And that word in the Greek is exegesis, which means to bring into full view by the explanation of words. Now the Bible says you'll never rise in that rapture unless you see him as he is.
Right? Going to take a prophet to bring him in full view.
Oh, listen, bless God. Let's just talk about that for a second. Over here in the book of Acts, again, the third chapter, where Peter's speaking on the very thing, repent therefore, Israel, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come in the presence of God. What's refreshing? The cool breeze blowing from the face of God, which Brother Branham said in Seal, number 2, page 44. And over here in Christ, the Mystery of God, page 39. This is the edition from Sparks, as I got out there. Isaiah 28:8-13 is that refreshing. When all tables are full of vomit, you're eating, pardon the expression, unadulterated puke. Every table, all tables. You say, Brother Bill, my table's clean. Oh, you hypocrite. The Word of God says every table's full of vomit. They're all unclean. I'm watching your faces, honey. Wish you're closer. I could really watch this going across. Because there's too much boasting amongst the preachers. I've got it. I've had this. I've had that. Listen, brother, sister. It's at all tables. In other words, the Word of God is so perverted that there's no preacher doing anything. But what is vomit? It's the pre-partly digested food regurgitated. And what is food? It's the Word of God. And so the preacher, he chomped on the food, the Word, and it brought up some food that was delicious. Ooh, what a good deed we had this morning. You're not going to make it that way, brother, sister. And then he tells each other, who am I going to teach the truth to? Who's going to get this? It says it's got to be the babies off the breast. That's a gift ministry. That's what Paul said. I'm not telling you a lie. That's what the prophet said. He said, if you're relying on gifts, your tongue's interpretation, and making ministry, it is evidence you are the real sin bride of the age when the move is on for the bride. You see, I challenge you. Why didn't you challenge Brother Branham he was alive? Why don't you go there and talk to him? I did. Never was afraid to challenge him, because I wasn't challenging. I was just trying to find out a few things. Sure. That's what it is, refreshing. Line upon line, here to there, little. You know, Brother Branham never came on to declare himself. He wasn't supposed to. When they said to Jesus, declare yourself. Go on, declare. He sidestepped.
Right.
It's only the sheep here, my boys.
That's right.
No problem. The cow will bring him in because he's got him 4 days. Huh? I'm going to try to be sweet. I'm rough, customer. I'll tell you, this word's rougher, though, brother, sister. Let's read it. He said, and he shall, after this refreshing, he shall send Jesus Christ, which before is preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive, and the heavens must receive him. He cannot come down his corporal body until the restoration of all things. What things? Which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began.
Yes.
That's the word restored.
Yes.
You say, Brother Bill, we've got it here. It's got to be restored in the human heart as God meant what he said. Because they said God meant this and God meant opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know that Jesus Christ came to positionally place Israel and they turned it down? I repeat, he came and positionally placed Israel and they turned it down and they're doing it today.
Yeah.
Because he said when the bride knows her place, she'll be gone.
Amen.
I can prove what I'm talking about. Just give me another sermon. You may not want one. All right, listen. It shall come to pass that no. And Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, of your brethren like unto me. To him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. See? Every one that doesn't, here's to be destroyed. I ask you a question. Did this take place? You say yes. I say no.
You got a little point, little error there, honey. You got a little error. That did not take place in the days of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because they were scattered. Israel was scattered abroad.
Right.
This refers to the end time. That prophet. And if you don't think Brother Branham said he was that prophet, I challenge you, in 1953, when I was in West Palm Beach, and Ray, I don't know about Ray, if you heard me that night, when I stood before the people, maybe Ross, you remember, I stood there and I said, behold, I send my prophet out on earth, and he shall teach the people things I don't know. And I said, if that's me, Dale, he'll never come to pass, because I don't even know a prophet. If that's God, there's a prophet coming. I said to folk, I tell you, I heard of this man called Nicholson. He's sweet, and he goes to Finland, speaks Finnish, never having learned it. He's been to France, I think, and spoke French, never having learned it. Now he's come to America. Maybe y'all go to New York and get him. North is north. It could be across the street. Man came to my town, Paris Reedhead. We talked about God for 2 hours or better. He said, finally, do you know Brother Branham? And I said, no. Just only heard him. What is him? I said, he's tremendous. Oh, he's a mighty man of God. He said, would you like to know him? Well, would a cat like a dish of cream? Would you like me to walk into the vault of the bank and say, help yourself? Woo, would I bring on the basket? So I said, how? He said, one of my best friends is Wallace Cobble, and you've heard Brother Branham on tape say Wallace Cobble was a bosom friend of his. He said, you go to the church at the Open Door, Louisville, 2nd Street, and you say, Harris Reed had sent you. He'll take you to Brother Branham. Well, I didn't know any better than to go. Why should I miss? Honey, if you got a sure thing, grab it. We cranks up the car without knowing Brother Bill could have been around the world somewhere. Didn't fall nothing. Jumps in the car, hits Louisville, goes to this brother's place, and said, I'd like to meet Brother Branham. He said, sure, take you over. So he took me over. That's the best takeover I ever saw. Here he is outside the door with his old flop hat on, gray suit, little sweet man of God, and he said, Brother Branham grabbed him and hugged him, and he said, I brought over Brother Bill from West Palm Beach. Reverend Dale, he'd like to meet you and talk to you. He said, sure, Brother Dale, come by tomorrow. Just like that. So I came by. What's the best thing ever came by in my life? You want to come by something good, you get the prophet. Yes, sir. He said that friend of the prophet's a great thing. And I'll tell you, sure worked out good for this guy. He saved my soul, right? Not my soul. Jesus did that. He saved the life out here. I could have lost. Wasted it. Wait. The prophet taught me, see. Now, so the next door, he said, well, I didn't phone you about that. He said, I phoned you because Brother Branham wants to know when you want him to come. I said, what'd you say? He said, Brother Branham wants to know when you want him to come. He said, you're holding about 2,500 invitations, and he's waiting on you. I said, waiting on me? Did you mean to tell me he meant it when he said he's coming? He said, yeah, and you're holding him up. I said, man, you just give me your phone, and I'll phone you back, because I'll get a building. I said, behold, a prophet shall come. Behold, I send my prophet, not he, but my prophet, out of the north. And he shall teach the people the things they ought to know. Which is what? The word of God for their day. All right, Brother Branham came. Now listen to me. One night, on that platform, in the healing service, under discernment, he said, the pillar of fire is here. The golden glow is over the whole congregation. And if you would only believe that I am that prophet,
right.
Not because I said so, but because the word of God said so, you'd all be healed. Here it is here. Every soul that hears not that prophet shall be cut off.
Right.
Now you believe in serpent seed. You say, why do you say that, Dale? Because the same God that said that, that spoke through me, and spoke through him. That same God wrote through him by the Holy Ghost saying, this prophet of the end time would plant the seed of the entire Bible from serpent seed to the prophet in the former age. And serpent seed is where perversion enters the human race and where the prophet brings on the last day perversion which fools the world, giving them worldwide revival to take them to the Antichrist and to hell. He preached serpent seed September 28, 1958. How do you know? My birthday. Send me a card. He preached anointed ones at the end time, July 25th, 1965, 7 years. It was finished. The entire seed planted.
Right.
My Bible says here, by the infallible God, by the Holy Ghost, that I try to serve with all my heart, and you claim you do too, may we together enter those golden pearly gates together. It says here, this prophet shall take and restore all.
Amen.
That's a prophet. Listen to me, brother, sister. I'm telling you, who was the first prophet? God was in that garden prophesying the woman's seed. Who was that last prophet? God was that last prophet.
Amen.
What is sin? Now listen, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel. Now why does he go back to Samuel? Because Samuel is the prophet that received the vision of God, and God appeared by the word. And it's done in our day too, and you see God. And you know what the world said? They said, see, Jesus only. Oh, we've got three. Let me find out about that, would you please? If you turn to... Oh, you don't mind. Hey, I'm going to get you home in the morning. Paul said here in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter is what I want, not the third. I always want to turn them wrong. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. That means you're not coming to him with another man's seed.
Right.
Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but by the word of God.
Amen.
See? Listen, chaste virgin, not like Eve, but like Mary. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you to Christ a chaste virgin, but I fear, lest by any means of the serpent beguiled Eve, how? Through his subtlety. So your minds. Here's the womb up here. You won't listen to Brother Branham, you stiff neck and hard of heart, you resist the Holy Ghost, said the great man Stephen. They stop their ears, they gnash their teeth, and they say, serpency, see no serpency.
Amen.
Ain't no one die. Stream. Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. Your minds be corrupted. The Bible said that corruptibility, the mind can be corrupted. Your mind must now put on that which cannot be corrupted, which is the Word of God. You can't prove you know the Word of God. You got no vindication. When does anybody here ever come with, thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord? You say, Brother Bale, I've had a little miracle. My God, you want to compare your notes with mine? I've got nothing. Brother, sister, listen to me. This is too serious. We're not fooling tonight. It said, your minds be corrupted from the simplicity which in Christ, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. You see, there's got to be two of them. There's another one. There's only one, but they got another one lined up, which we have not preached. Paul only preached one God, Jehovah, come down in flesh. That was Jesus. Or another spirit. It's only Jesus' spirit, but they've got two. They got a spirit of him, and they got a spirit of the Holy Spirit. And so the great doctor McCrossin and men like them say, well, when Jesus breathed on them in the book of John, they got the Holy Ghost. So the church started before Pentecost. The church did not start before Pentecost. There's only one spirit, not two spirits. Paul said they'd be preaching two spirits. Or another gospel, you could accept. There's no gospel, my brother, sister, but the revealed word of God that came to the prophet.
Right.
And that gets corrupted, and you got to get back to it.
Yeah.
See? Now, this is that end time. Man, that's an end time prophet coming, which he does. See? He is that one who, because of the pillar of fire, is able to reflect God absolutely, because God is revealed. That unseeable spirit is clothed with spoken word and thereby revealed. Now listen, he, that's God, proves that it is he himself by manifesting himself exactly the same as when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He does the same things according to Hebrews 13 and 8, proving that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, how does he do it? I'm glad you asked the question. In the book of Luke, the 17th chapter. Listen to me. It says here, concerning the end time. Now let me go to verse 20. We'll look at something here. And when he was demanded of the Pharisee, notice he was demanded Notice that lovely spirit. Demand it.
Boy, you demand God. Not implored. But in the presence of God, this mighty one, veiled in flesh, they thought he was just an ordinary man. And bless God, any one of us can talk up to an ordinary man. Because he's just a man. And I'm a man too. Of course, I'm a little bitter. God help me. It's sick in my stomach. Any man stand alongside of a prophet of God, William Branham, and dare to even say one word against him. Dare to have the audacity to stand up and contradict him. Dare, my God, have pity. I don't understand something like that. I don't understand that any more than I understand, brother, sister. A man being a Roman Catholic in the face of history, and millions of them are educated. You see where I put it? And I'm not God. I'm just saying leave veil now. But I'm trying to put it in such a way to stir you, to get you either angry or get you to see something. If you're in a position that where you don't understand this thing, and you say, well, brother Dale, I've got some too. So did David. So did Judas. They had some too. See, you understand what I'm driving at? I hope you do. See? Now, see, where am I reading? Yes. He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come. The very thing that they wanted themselves, but will not come the way they want it, and where they want it, when they want it, or anything about it, they miss it entirely, and it'll never come that way they think it'll come. Because everybody thinks Matthew 25 is where the Lord descends and saves the Jews, and then all the nations that were nice to the Jews are going to be brought in the millennium and procreate children while Israel waves a bat over their heads and beats them down and says, everybody love us. Well, I got news for you. How can anybody be doing any good thing for the Jews when the Bible says the whole world comes up against them? And God turns around and destroys everybody that doesn't believe God or the gospel, doesn't obey God and doesn't believe the gospel. Ain't nobody left with 144,000. Now where does that leave you? They never were placed that way in a kingdom. You say, Brother Dale, I've been taught the book of Ezekiel is the millennium. How can there be a blood sacrifice of bulls and goats when Christ died and finished it? Wake up before it's too late. Did you check with Brother Branham on that? I sure did check with Brother Branham on that. You hear his tapes on it too, you'll find out. They said, when's the kingdom of God coming? And then he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In plain, unadulterated street language, it's coming, but you won't even see it. It'll be there and you won't know it. You're blind. Now he said, this is the end time. This is the end time we're talking about. The kingdom of God coming to earth. David. Like Mount Transfiguration. Glorified beings. He said, it's coming. It'll be there. You won't even see it. You'll miss it. And then he said, thank you, Lord. You deal little children, little humble things that you're taking. Then he turned to his disciples. They weren't haughty, proud, with a big old question mark. Now he said, sweetly, the days will come. This is the end time now, brother, sister. It didn't happen back in those days. This is for the end time. The days will come and you shall desire to see one of the days the Son of Man you'll not see. Now, they never did desire to see one of those days because as soon as Christ was crucified, they threw up the towel and they said, it's all over. Too bad. We missed it. Something was wrong somewhere. And then when he said, Mary, you tell them I'll see him in Galilee, they didn't even bother going. Just by accident, they said, let's go fishing. Such a nice day to fish. And they saw Jesus. They weren't looking for him for one of these days. They never did. This is the end time when they look for the days. Now watch this. See? And they shall say to you, he said, you'll not see. They say to you, see here, see there. Go on and ask them to follow them. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part of him shines the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected generation. See, this has got to come first, then the other. Now notice in verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. See? The days repeat, but not the persons per se as natural beings. All the experience of Noah's day, which refers to God taking the people into an ark, preserving them for the millennium, which he does, bring them back,
So the very experiences of the Christful Returner, Daddy Bosworth. Now listen carefully. Daddy Bosworth said, Brother Dale, I have prayed for 4 years for the ministry of Jesus Christ to return to this earth, and there it is in that man. Now listen to me, brother, sister. Listen carefully. No man living can pray for anything that's not in the Word of God. Because ain't no such thing. The Bible said, I have exalted my Word above my name. Every prayer ends in the name of Jesus, right? So therefore, what's above the name is your prayer. So if God is going to do anything about your prayer, it's got to be according to the Word. You've got to give God back in faith His Word. And if the ministry of Christ was not to return to this earth, then Daddy Bosworth could not get his prayer answered. But here's the very verse that Daddy Bosworth didn't know was in the Bible, but moved by the Holy Ghost, he screamed for 40 years for the very ministry of Christ to return, and the ministry did, but not the corporal Christ. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. I believe men who've got the Holy Ghost and get things from God, brother, sister, according to the Word. And nobody else knows it's there, but they know it. And they don't even know the chapter and verse. See? Now, the ministry of Christ returns to this earth. And if that ministry returns to that earth, then there must be the identical parallel which there is. Let's go back again to Luke a little bit here. If I can find what I want, I'm very happy. Yes, I'm very happy. It says in Luke the 2nd chapter, and Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again in men in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. The revelation ministry of Christ revealing men's hearts like William Branham did was the sign of the Messiah spoken against. And you know it's the truth. And you sit there and say there's no serpent seed, and you sit there and tell me you can defy the prophet. My God, have pity on you. You say you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. I should have an altar call just right now. So I'll continue my message. But I'm not here to excoriate any person or persons. But I'm here, my brother and my sister, to prick our conscience and our hearts to let us know we're a million behinds in our own faith tonight. We have not accepted this Word, this engrafted Word of Almighty God as we ought to, and esteem it as Brother Branham said, we lay aside everything and have nothing but this Word, the revelation of God. Too busy with our lousy, stinking motor cars, I know why. Every car I get always pops up. I think I'm going to jump the lousy thing, put a stick of dynamite, take an airplane, but get away from everything but God. I am sick and tired of everything, but I want to know this Word. Okay, brother, I want to know God. How are you going to know Him without this Word? How are you going to see Him as He is? You say, Brother Dale, what about the dead? They've already seen Him as He is because they come down here to get their bodies with them. Brother, sister, I want to tell you, I'm just a pretty rotten student. But I can get my Greek books out because I'm no smart student. But I got a few books. I paid a good price for them. The only reason I can afford it, because I got a good brother, Abacola, to get some wholesale. If you want some, I'll get them for you, too. You generous man. On his generosity. You want a big thing, Gordon? We'll knock 40% off, so sure. I get those books out around 30, 40 translations I got. I lay them out there. And to my utter amazement, I see what all the great scholars said, but they couldn't place it. And William Branham comes around in one sentence. And even the vernacular of a little Kentucky boy. And it just goes just like this. Do you know something about the Greek? When you go to Greece, if you're a little Greek boy or girl, you know tonight that the Greek is not punctuated. No, sir. It has capitals and no punctuation. And the teacher stands up there and you learn to read as the baton rise and fall, and your voice must rise and fall to punctuate. Like the important part of the word has a big punctuation mark. Like the horse. You want the attention. Not a cow now. Not what he's doing, but the horse. Focus on the horse. And that's where the voice shouts, the horse shall come out of the west. But you say, west, don't it? Horse come out of the west. That's how it's done.
And here Dave Momus, this little Greek friend of mine that's born in Greece and knows the Greek so perfectly, he's sitting in Brother Branham's meeting, and here Brother Branham picks up the King James Version, and his voice rises and falls with the Greek. And old Dave sits there. And he comes back. He's flabbergasted. He comes back the next night. And Brother Branham's voice raises and falls with the Greek, just the way it's written in the Bible. And he sits there. What's this uneducated guy doing? What's he doing? He's killing me. He's shuddering, sitting there in the seat. He knows the man's got to have God, because how could he do it? He couldn't do it without the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So one day, he's got to get to see Brother Branham. He gets to know him. Brother Branham loves him. He said, Dave, I've got a meeting coming up. You come and see me. So Dave said, oh, Brother Branham, I can't get there to Friday. I'm working. He said, well, come Friday. So poor old Dave gets his old hat, you know, forever driving down the road all night, his eyes bleary all night. Here comes the morning sun coming up, and he's trying to keep just his eyeballs, you know, so he can see down the road, trying to clear his head. The gas tank's run up by now, and he's coming into town, and a boy said, don't stop now. But he said, my gas tank, he said, don't stop now. And he goes on, he said, I might not see another station. He said, don't stop now. And the tank's way down past the mark where there's no gas left at sea. And he said, you pull in here. And he pulls into the, drives up the island, and suddenly a man opens the door. And Brother Bannon said, good morning, Dave. I've been waiting for you. When have you done that? Brother, sister, I'm just trying to break down a barrier. I'm like Paul tonight, beseeching like Paul's son, Timothy. Trying to be a son to Brother Branham. Because the children of the prophet, my brother, my sister, that's who the children are. They're children of the prophet, children of the word. I'm trying to show you, get rid of your thoughts tonight. Humble yourself and get down. You say, did you do it, Brother Bill? Sure I did. My brain and my mind was crippled with the prostituted thought, the perverted word, the creeds and dogmas, anything but a chaste virgin of the word. You think I didn't think twice about serpent's seed? I believe I'm the first man Brother Branham ever talked to on that subject. Went out fishing. I don't eat fish. He stuck his little old poles in there. You know, he took a little old stick, like a fork of a branch, you know, put it there in the soft mud, put the lines in, ran back and forth watching, and I ran back and forth listening. We were talking. What do you think about serpent's seed? I said, what about it? He said, you don't think he ate that apples? I said, sure, I think she did. Oh, he said, no, he said, God's thoughts to me on that are that it was the serpent had intercourse with her and brought forth Cain. Well, I said, I don't think that. See, I had a book by Dr. James Wise. He said the devil did it. Very close, but wrong. That's right. James Wise wrong. I got the book. I gave Brother Branham a copy. It's in his house in Jeff right now. I believe it's still in the little old table sitting there where he left it. See, he taught, I said, I don't see necessity of that. I said, I'll follow that. See, the point to me is, it was disobedience. By one man, disobedience. And I said, that's good enough for me. It wouldn't matter what it was, as far as I was concerned. See? But one day, brother, sister, suddenly something whirled in. Just like years ago, and I thought Brother Branham, Brother Ned said, it was just a little bit legal. Over women's hair, in their dress. I traveled in 1958. You'll get out of here in a minute, don't worry. They say the seats are awful hard to get through, just stand up. I was with him in 1958, and I started gigging him about, you know, these sermons. So one time we went to a church in New England, up in Boston, in fact, he was. And we knew this fellow was not really right according to what he ought to be, see? And so Brother Brown said, I'll fix those guys there. He did it, but he said, I'll preach a sermon that'll make them think twice. And so he really went against paint and powder and short hair and slaps and shorts and this and that. And I tell you what, I was sitting there giggling because I didn't think it was making any effect. And the next day, the preacher picked us up with two buddies of his and took us to dinner. And Brother Branham, sitting in the back seat with me and that preacher, he slapped Brother Ben. He said, bless God, Brother Branham. He said, I want to tell you, our folk ate that sermon up. Why, our men don't even shave on Sunday. And I go, I held myself in. I could have laughed my head off. And I just wanted to get Brother Branham on so I could dig him. So after laughing and laughing, and we got the motel later on, I said, that'll teach you to preach your legalistic sermons. Boy, he put the cap on your climax, and I laughed and ha-ha'd about this. You were such a good joke, see? And then one day, he told me, he said, Sister Bill, stick around. He said, you'll let your hair grow. Then one day, it began sweeping down, and I said, hold it, hold it, hold it. When did this man, so serious and so great, when could this man say any one thing frivolous or tell me one thing There was just a little thing that didn't matter. And I told my buddy, Brother Dale, my other good friend, Ray, while he's not here, when the prayer meeting went out, I said to those men, gentlemen, you know Brother Branham like I do. And when Brother Branham said short hair is not the word of God, we know this man is serious. We know he wouldn't fool trivial things. It is a must. I went home and talked to my wife, and she said, Mom, my hair grow. And the women today let their hair grow. Brother said, see, this is real. The truth, the word of God.
Yes.
See, now, going back here, it says the Son of Man revealed. The sign spoken against.
Yes.
See? The very sign. This man's word. The full declaration. Just exactly as Christ. He had the same sign, the same ministry, the same miracle. People come to Brother Branham and say, Brother Branham, you've got the power, you've got the authority. Why use it? He said, I've got the authority, but don't have the command. That's what Jesus said. Can I not now presently call 12 legions of angels? But he didn't do it. Why? He didn't have the command.
Right.
See? The days of the Lord Jesus Christ came back to earth. And the Bible says at this end time, you're going to want to see those days again, but you'll not see them.
Right.
You've the world had its chance.
Right.
Brother, sister, listen to me. The very signs of this prophet was a sign of light. For Jesus is simply talking about the light. You're walking a while. He had it said in the book of John concerning these signs. He said, believe the signs. He said, believe the works. He said, you don't believe the words. But he said, listen to me. Look at these signs. No man has ever done it. In fact, when that boy born blind came before the Pharisees, he said, listen, you Pharisees, never in the history of the world was a man born blind made to see. And that's God's truth. There never was at that time a man born blind made to see. And they said, who do you think you are to teach us, you dumb little jerk? The very light of that sign. It was light to them. They wouldn't walk in that light. I'm trying to get this tonight. You say, Brother Bill, I've got some vindication too. Then if you're looking for vindication for authority to speak, go to the greatest vindication, William Branham.
That's right.
Then talk what he said.
Right.
And Jesus said to those men, look at here, he said, if you don't take the light of my word, then just take a little light. Look at what I've done. It's never been done before, and it's in the word what would be done. Open the eyes of the blind. What blind? Even those born blind. Put in new bones, creation. So to speak, create a bone in there. See? Then he said, you believe that, you go on the word.
See, Brother Dale, what about you talked about your ministry a while ago? I had a little ministry, yeah.
There was little enough where I could take 10 couples, and I challenge, you don't believe me, I'll pay the fare to Canada if you reimburse me, and you pay the way back. I'm not kidding you now. I have taken and taught hundreds on gifts of the Holy Ghost. I have taken as many as 10 couples with 10 people who needed help. And I said, now you pray for each one, and I'll help you how to discern. Man, I studied the Word in these Scriptures on this, how to get into this thing. Studied every key. Everything to get my hands on, everything I hear, trace it, watch it, pray, everything else. I could take those 10 couples, and they'd say, Brother Dale, I don't understand it. And I'd look down and say, oh, cold, chill, fever. That's right, Brother Dale. Pray for it. Man needed help. He said, look here, I see something happen years ago. I can't believe it. Oh, I said, you fell off the hay rack. That's right, my back hurts it. Fast as I could talk, I could discern people physically and spiritually. I could take 60 and 90 minutes as fast as I could talk. It began to fade when I went to the Word. And I said, Brother Branham, why did it fade? He said, because, Lee, the day of the gift age is over. It's on tape, brother and sister. Once we knew in part, once we thought in part, once we had a part, but when that, not him, but that which is perfect is come. The Bible says in the days of the voice of the seven messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be brought to consummation and perfection, as God hath declared the good news of the gospel by his prophets. The gospel word should be perfected. When perfection has come to the word, restoration, what God started and God will finish, it says the gifts are gone. Why do you need it? Why don't you put your churches in order? Don't you want to be a word bride? When the word and the bride becomes one, in order to approach unto him, in order to be united with him, then shall the mighty works be found in her which are found in Christ. What is it? Then the brother Branham said, she has the word and knows what to do with it, making it thus, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Let's start there. Christ, what gift is that? No gift. It's the word. Wilt thou be made whole? Carry of thee. What gift is that? No gift at all. It's the word. God failed once more in men, called the bride. You say, well, that empty hospital? No, sir. Will that turn towns upside down? No, sir. That's for the bride, total loss of the world, third full. See, these days repeat. The days of Noah repeat, but not Noah. The days of Christ repeat, but not the Lord Jesus Christ in flesh any more than Noah. But those days repeat. That makes verse 30, even thus it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What is that? Son of Man's a prophet. That prophet. All right, listen. So we don't go on all night. The days of Son of Man repeat by ministry, ministry of power. Now notice in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says when the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, God Himself, will stop in the air, and the Old Testament with the Old Testament saints until the New Testament bride is caught up, and then they'll come down to earth in Revelation in Thessalonians 2, the second chapter, and verses 7-10. But remember, in Revelation 10:1-6, He is a messenger. Right? And His message is Himself. He is the message, and He is revealing Himself. The message and the messenger are one. The Lord amongst His people is revealing Himself. Now notice, quoting from Brother Branham, after Elijah brought the word of the Lord to the widow, after, not before, after Elijah brought the word of the Lord to the widow, she could go to the barrel and the cruise, and get meal and oil every time. Meal represents Christ. That bread sustained her. It followed Elijah's word to her. But Elijah's word was God's word to her. How could a man say the cruise and oil and the meal never failed? Only God could do that. That's a miracle. Why, if we can work miracles, we're God. You can't work a miracle, only God can work a miracle. Now listen, Elijah's word was God's word to her. Today, the bread of life follows this message. It is the bread of life that will sustain us, Christ. We are feeding on the word. It is the children's bread. It is life. It is Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never appeared to the Gentiles when He was on earth. Then He was preached to them, and He came by a visitation of the Spirit upon them. Now He is revealing Himself amongst them. The question then might arise, why is He doing this? What is the necessity? We are told in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. What condition is the world in to demand a curse? And to bring them on the scene. Laodicea. Men blind. Wretched and miserable naked, but saying, we're well fit. We've got it all. You know that word in the Greek means being rich, means full. The Bible said, warn to you when you say you're full, for you'll be empty. Did you say you don't need a prophet? You know how Laodicea is? Oh, brother, sister, listen. If you're not in the Laodicean church like every man, woman, or child is in the last age and none accepted, then how come he says, behold, I stand at the door now, and if any man hear my voice, open the house, come in and sup with him and he with me. What are you going to feed on? The word of God. Eat his body, drink his blood, so to speak. See, end time. Now, the book of Revelation tells the condition of the church. As the book of Isaiah does, at the end time, everything full of vomit, playing with little gifts, playing with the gifts, not knowing that it's the gifts that bring about the deception.
Right.
See?
Right.
Because men of ill repute, the Bible distinctly says in the book of Matthew here, this is Laodicea again. Come on, let's go there. Matthew, my mind's turning the wrong way, I'm sorry. Matthew 24 and verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders.
We've been accused of being false prophets. And there's not one of my brethren I know of manifesting in gifts and doing miracles. Yet the boys calling us this are doing miracles. Well, they qualify for false prophet more than ever would. Well, come on, wake up, you people. Am I giving you a wrong word? I'm reading the same Bible you're reading. It's the same King James Version. Read it again to you. For there shall arise false Christ. Now the Holy Ghost can't be false because the Holy Ghost is Christ. So it's a man posing as that one. He's false. And it describes here because the word in the Greek for and is k, which should be interpreted even. There shall arise false Christ, even lying prophet. What's a lying prophet? A man that comes without the word of God. But he's got a genuine sign and wonder. And shall show great signs and wonders. You say, Brother Bill, the lying signs and wonders. You're wrong. It doesn't say that. And the Bible says you put a word in there, you get the praise. They're genuine signs and wonders by the Holy Ghost. In so much, if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Now, what's the elect? From two Greek words, ek and logos, means called out by the word. Yes. How did you come out? By miracles and signs? Or did you go to the word? What word? Well, what word? Yeah, well, listen, according to the little book, the thing that Brother Dale gave me yesterday, there's 430-some different denominations in America, which means literally hundreds and hundreds of different churches based upon different concepts. And they all say it's the Word of God. Now, where do you stand tonight, brother, sister? You're just one of them. But we stand tonight in the prophet's Word to the best of our heart. I want to know what he said. I want a revelation why he said it. And I want to be that Word for my day. I don't want to deviate. I want every thought of mine brought right into captivity. Just boom, put a lock and chain on it. My mind began to wander. Well, Brother Branham said this, but I don't see it. And say, shut up! You filthy, corrupt mind. So, Brother Bill, my mind's not corrupt. Hold it, bud. The Word of God says it is. Paul the Apostle said, what did the Word of God come out of you? Come out of you only, or did it come out of you? He said, I'm challenging you. Did you bring the Word of God, or did I bring it? And he said, if any man says he's spiritual or claims to be a prophet, let him admit to what I say are the commandments of the Lord.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says at the end time to think that he that adds one word to this book or takes away one word, God will put him in the tribulation and take his name out of the book. There's only one time God can do that. That's in the seventh age. So therefore, God is duty bound to restore this word to the understanding and the hearts of the people. Absolutely, let us perfect for the day. Or he is criminal to put a man in the tribulation and take his name off the book.
Right.
That which is crooked has come is the finger word of God revealed.
Amen.
You can sew this up 1 million ways, brother, sister, just getting the word. Ooh, I wish I had time to preach. No. You've been generous enough now and you're restless. We'll go home in a minute. Listen, make no mistake about it. God has visited his people. The first facet, the revealed message is over. The Lord has descended with a shout. God has descended by the prophet spirit and revealed himself amongst us and is making us ready for the marriage of the Lamb. Garments of the Word have made us ready according to the book of Revelation, the 19th chapter. 19th chapter 7 to 9. Let me see it for you here, please. All right, he said, let us be glad and rejoice. Why, Brother Bale, the curtains are ringing down. Roving crowds are murdering one. When we're ostracized by the public, they'll eliminate us. Do you know something, folk, that Africa had one of the greatest moves of God in the world? They had 53 Coptic churches in no time. And when the Mohammedans came in there, they never even raised a sword to kill anybody. You've heard the story of the unspeakable church, how they destroyed the Armenians. You've heard stories about how they have been so dastardly and so terrible. But, brother, sister, they did not do that in Africa. They simply took away their rights to live, as it were, as a human being amongst human beings, and they destroyed Christianity. And they'll do the same thing again with their subtle rottenness. The curtains are rolling down. Roving bands are chilling. Everything is going up, in, as it were, in a conflagration. Men and women's minds are deserting them.
The very thing that Brother Branham said, women and men will look out and they'll see locusts as big as trees, and they'll see great tremendous things that they wouldn't believe existed. And you say, Brother Dale, where is that in Scripture? Oh, I'm glad you asked me, because I think I can find it. It says here in the 21st chapter of Luke, the verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famine, and pestilence, and fearful signs. And the fearful signs in the Greek is not confined to the sight, but things of terror used by Hippocrates, by fearful objects imagined by the sick. William Branham didn't know that was in the Greek, but God told him. Now am I an intellectual because I find these things out? Am I a false prophet because I dig in the Word of God to bring you truth? Are you helped tonight when I show you by the Word of God that Brother Branham had every right to tell you those locusts were not what people thought they were, but they were hallucinations? Well, did I help you when I said that? Now, why don't some of you get off my back? Huh? I should let God defend me, but sometimes I'm just fool enough to defend myself. Now in this day it says rejoice and be glad. I'm going to not defend myself or let my hair down. I'm not happy at times. I get kind of scared. Get a little confused. Look around. Say, do you just believe this word? No, I don't just believe it. No, I believe it. The pressure do come on. You get a little nervous, a little jittery times. But it says, don't do it. Don't do it. Do it. Just rejoice and be glad. And get him off. In other words, don't get your eyes on what conditions are. Start getting your eyes on him. Start praising him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Now she couldn't have had it before, because she's now getting it. For the fine linen is the righteous thing. And he said unto me, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Yes. See? Now listen, according to Christ, when he was on earth, he's taken up when he says this. When he was on earth, he said, there's going to be people who will come to that supper and they'll be cast out. Yes. Right. So it's going to have to be here on earth. Sure. There's something going on here in the dimension, brother. This has got to be spiritual. We're not catching it. I don't pretend I am. It's something Brother Branham said he'd talk about and never did. God must have stopped him. Just like she told us, he couldn't tell us what's coming or we'd get scared. See? Yes. The bride makes us ready. It is this word, now listen, it is this word ministry that gets the bride ready. And when she is ready, the dead can come out of the ground in their glorified bodies, and the living can be changed in their bodies and be just like them, and together they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air with the corporal body. Then they will sit down at the wedding supper for 3.5 years.
Right.
You say, Brother Dale, where do you get those 3.5 years? Where do you get your 7? Because there is no 7 in the book of Revelation. Find it out. It's 3.5 years. And the Bible says after the 62 weeks and the 7 weeks, it says after that, he'll be cut off. So therefore, it's in the 70th week that Christ is cut off. So the brother, the prophet was right. It's 3.5 years. Glory to God. I waited years to get that one. So one day he did what he always does. Just he said, go back to the book where it is. So go look, 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 look. And it says, F. So 62 went by, and 7 went by. So all there's left is 1.
Right.
Say, we should have seen that. No, it's not given to us to see. It's a prophet. But you believe the prophet, and God will show you.
That's right.
See, I was so steeped in the saints being through the tribulation, I couldn't see it. I'm going to let you know of my unbelief. I wasn't excoriating you tonight. I'm just preaching to sort of jar you. I'm not here as though Brother Dale believes everything. Bless God, he's got him. Because he's got a trouble. He's got time, too. And after Brother Branham preached the seals, I was so steeped in the fact that I believe the saints went through the tribulation because I got mixed up on trumpets and all. And even Daddy Foster's teaching was wrong, see? And I followed some of his.
And so I couldn't get it through my head. And I went to Brother Brown, and we talked and talked, and the more he talked, the more confused I got, and the more confused I got, and the more anxious I got to get it from him, the more he looked disappointed me and sorrowful. He looked kind of sad. And like I was, dealt in a kind of mean, And I felt terrible. And I said, Brother Branham, I'm not arguing. I just don't understand. But could you help me a little further? He said, what is it? I said, I don't want to be insulting him, but just could you do one thing? He said, yeah. I said, look, just to help me. Is it thus says the Lord that there's no tribulation for the bride? She goes up before. He said, leave that in. Thus the Lord. I said, thank you, Brother Branham. I'll find it now in the Word. And here I was all covered over with this corruption, my mind corrupted, and I was a corrupt person, and I was no chaste person of the Word. So I go to the Bible and I said, Lord, I know now that what the score is, now show me. And from then on, just bang, 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 word after word. Today I'll challenge any man living. You say, well, now you just turn around. Well, bless God, that's conversion, honey. That's repentance. I've done repentance. I just want to show you one thing tonight, brother, sister. The theologians are wrong. The fundamentalists are wrong. There are not two faiths coming, there are three. And he must descend by the pillar of fire and reveal himself by the word so we can see him as he is, that we can put on that garment and be changed. So they'll come out of the graves and bring about the resurrection, or else all he can do is come with a curse. And brother, sister, listen, the rapture ain't no curse. For there's no rapture. And there's no resurrection. There's just a general resurrection and judgment. Do you want that to happen? No. Then, oh God, bring forth Elijah. Too late, I don't have to pray. He already came for it. He revealed God. God revealed himself. But he had to use the skin. He had to take that unseen spirit and veil him in spoken word. And the spoken word came into this mind to uncorrupt. Let the Holy Ghost bring it down here. As Brother Laurie said this morning, don't strive and don't fuss about it. Just believe it. Just accept it. But if God isn't big enough to do it, you'll never do it yourself. I'm depending tonight, brother, sister, on one thing. And that is the blood has gone to the word. Let the Lamb leave the mercy seat. What was there before he got on? Let the Lamb leave the mercy. Let the blood go to the Word. Let me and you as a bride never become one with that Word. For there are three in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Word. Let there be three here that are one, not agree, but I one. The Word, see? And the Spirit, and the person. Let them now come forth that manifested Word, where God manifests himself for the last time on earth as that bride. And he which hindereth will hinder till the last minute. Take it off the earth. Then let him come in. See, Brother Bill, why do people always talk about God being revealed in Brother Branham? Why do you always taste him with God? Brother, sister, listen to me. There was a man called Judas. Is that right? John 6 and 70, Jesus said, one of you is a devil. That's wrong. He didn't say that at all. He did not. I challenged the King James Version. They got it wrong. He said, one of you is the devil. One of you is Diabolus. Now listen, was Judas the devil? He certainly was not. Judas was not the devil. He had a devil in him. But you know, when he took that salt that Jesus gave him, that other devil went out and the devil went into him. William Branham was not God. No, sir. But when William Branham's thoughts all went out, and the Word of God descended in that man by the Holy Ghost, you were no longer dealing with the man, you were dealing with God. William Branham is gone. That same Word has gone back to where it came from. It was sown here in a literal word that came to our minds. And now that Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. And the Holy Ghost for the first time has been loosed in 2,000 years from its creeds and the dogmas that bound the Feast of the Trumpets.
The Word of God, which we have seen in power, is now being seen in revelation. And as we saw God in a man, so before this bride goes, the world will see God in a bride. It'll be the manifested Word. I want to be a part of that. I don't know. He told us to believe it and say we were. And he said, if you love me, obey my commandments. People in the world are going around with the false doctrines and dogmas, and they're so happy they're on so top of the world. And they act like they have the great revelation that we've got. And they don't have it. It's time to do what the prophet said. To stand up and believe him. That when those seals were opened, we saw our names in that book of life, which was the Word, the God, Word of God. We saw ourselves as a part of that Word. You say, Brother Neil, how is that? Because there was a man called John the Baptist. And they said, who are you? And he said, I'm that Word. Of Isaiah 40 and Malachi 3 and a bit of 4 and 5. I'm that Word come to life, clothed in flesh. Who are we? We're that same Word the prophet uttered, clothed in flesh. Just as God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be a messenger. There was a messenger. As God said, let there be Revelation 10:7, there was Revelation 10:7. As God said, let there be a bride who shall not see death, but will all be changed. Let there be, and there will be. Now let me stand up and say, believing the prophet, obeying him, I'm part of that. You say, why, Brother Bale? Because you're a child of Abraham. You're following his steps. And God said to Abraham, see, I have made you a father nation, and I will multiply you. He said, from now on, don't you dare ever call yourself Abram again because you're Abraham. See, from now on, don't you ever call yourself church. Call yourself bride. Amen. Don't you ever say off what the prophet said. You say what he said. That's why he said you might not understand it. Therefore, don't try to figure it. Just say what I said.
Amen.
You follow me? Well, I've said enough. Maybe said too much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Maybe we just ought to rise, shall we, while we're at it. We'll be able to dismiss and go home. We seem to walk in the light. Gracious eternal God, as we stand here bowed in your presence, I want to first of all ask your forgiveness, Lord. If I've said anything, Lord, I shouldn't have said, I'm not too worried about that. I do get a little worried, Lord, and sometimes more than a little worried that I've said in such a way I ought not to have said it. But, oh God, tonight, except you build the house of labor in vain that build except you, Lord God, would absolutely watch the city they watch, but in vain. And Lord God, as there are many vessels of different kinds, they could be vessels of honor, and yet so many times. I'm praying tonight and hoping against hope, O God, that people will understand a rough manner and understand that I'm human. Praying for me, Lord, I won't be quite as human as I am, getting more and more divine, even as I pray for them. Thank you, Lord, for good fellowship and spirit. And above all, Lord, a good understanding of the Word, because if anything is going to bring us back to a deep revelation and a deep positioning, it's going to be that creative Word which we've had tonight. Lord, not by me saying it, but taking what the prophet said. So, our Father, tonight, we pray for everyone here tonight in divine presence. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I feel constrained tonight. Just to say to you people, is there someone here, say, Brother Bale, I've raised my mind against the prophet. I've raised my heart against it. Before God tonight, I repent. I want the people to pray for me. I'm going to give my whole mind over to the Word of God. Just the way Paul said, lest this Satan come in and beguile me, lest this corruptible thing still keep its corruption, because I know it's got to put on incorruptibility. I know it's got to do. But Brother Bale, I've had a struggle. It isn't. Now, I'm not talking to you who believe it and don't understand it. I'm talking to you who have actually kept to yourself and said, well, I don't have to believe at all. He could have made a mistake. I'm talking to you. Is there someone? Thank you. Anybody else raise your hand? I want to pray for you. That's a good spirit. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. We're going to pray together. This is what really counts, brother and sister. There's got to be a restored Word. God said so. And if the Word is not restored, he cannot come, because he's got to be retained until that time. And he said, if there isn't restoration, then I'm going to have to come and smite with the curse. Brothers, sisters, you know what that means? It means the word of God is voided. The very thing that you hold your hope on, it'll never come to pass and worship it. Listen, I'm not saying this to say it. This is the word of God. See? Maybe I'm true up and you'd like Brother Bobby or someone to come and deal with you now. I'll step aside. I've got no problem there. I can't do anything for you anyway. It could be somebody say, Brother Vail, I've reserved in myself my own thoughts, but tonight they're coming under control. Tonight I'm going to give way. I'm going to believe the man that was vindicated. I haven't got anything to prove myself. I want to lay it down. I want to believe anybody anywhere. You're the one, not me, brother, sister. Don't kick against the pricks and don't fight against the revealed word of God. He's that man of the word tonight. Revelation 10:7 says it's going to happen, brother, sister. You saw what happened when God said, let there be light. There's light out there. You saw what happened when God said, I'm going to set the sun and the moon there. You saw it happen. You know it's true. Then this is true too, and that's thus said the Lord. Don't throw it away tonight, brothers. But repent. Will you repent tonight? It's up to you. All right, gracious Heavenly Father, you saw these hands raised. I'm so glad, Lord, that even one would raise the hand, let alone the few that did. I'm happy, Lord, tonight. God bless my brothers and sisters. Lord, I know the struggle they've had. I know, Lord, we can look at a thing and say, that can't be right. The Bible says different. But Lord, in the day the Pharisees came, they said, the Bible says different. But he did come according to the word, but not according to their interpretation of that word. Lord, tonight we know it's the same thing. God, I just pray that you'll make every bit of me as humble as you made me humble concerning this word. And then everybody else even more humble, Lord, because no doubt they're all sweeter and better than I am. I preach, Lord, to better people than I am myself. But God, sometime even a grizzled old whirly bug could help somebody. And I pray they've been helped. God bless each one and all and be sweet to be sweeter still. Not only love, but be more loving still. The very epitome, as it were, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not any more beholding and looking to see what's there, but no reflecting the glory of God by the word. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
All ye saints of light proclaim Jesus the Lord. Dismiss you tonight. Let us remember service in the morning at 10 o'clock. Let me say this. All day long, there was supposed to be another speaker tonight. And the Lord dealt with my heart. Brother Vail did not know that he was going to speak tonight until about 6:30. That's right. I sent Brother Palmer to tell Brother Vail that he would minister tonight. I believe the Lord has made himself known by revealing himself by his word. Amen. My friend, tonight, I don't believe this meeting has come by the will of Jack Palmer of Bobby Woodruff. I believe the great God that's concerned about the bride has called us together to reveal himself by his word. Amen. Let's sing, amen, that last verse as we march out. Amen.